We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half of your host, DJ Never Forget. Terry Diabolic is sitting down. We have a great show today, actually.
Yo, yo.
Hello.
Hello, that is Scooby, a flagrant foul. What was that remix?
That's actually, I guess, kind of, well, it's a cover of Arthur Russell's song that came out on Electric Minds, I guess maybe late last fall. Joe Worker singing on it. He's like a young singer-songwriter from London who is on Rough Trade now.
Good voice. Awesome. Reminds me of old Arthur.
What's that?
He really invoked that spirit there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Really just got that, like, smooth swagger.
Yeah, he never heard of him before and never heard the song. And when I heard his voice, because I did some production for his debut, and it sounded like Arthur and then Anthony, you know?
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. Scooby is going to stay with us for the hour. He's going to snack on some pizza, Robert's pizza, and then we're going to talk about upcoming Flagrant Foul stuff, soundtracks, fatherhood, robot.
Oh, yeah. Canons.
We got a lot of stuff to cover. Also on the show today, we have Arthur Allen, who is a former Associated Press foreign correspondent who was coming out with a book called Ripe, which is all about tomatoes.
Tomatoes,
however you want to say it. Before we get to that, it's good to have, I feel like we're back in the rhythm.
Yeah,
you know, we had a couple weeks off, and then last week's show was good, but now we're back to the speed. As we mentioned last week, we were heading out to Chicago and to Miami to DJ and to play Rachel Ray's Food and Wine Party. Let's start there, and then we'll work backwards.
So Rachel Ray's party was at the Raleigh in Miami on Saturday night, and it was a fantastic time. The Cringe, Rachel's husband's band, played, and Lee Schrager was there, and Duff and the Cake.
The entire Ace of Cakes
Ace
crew.
Ace of Cakes, who were...
Who danced the entire time.
Guy Fieri and his... I think they're called Knuckle Sandwich? I think that's the name of his crew?
No, it's not.
One guy had a jacket.
Hold on a second. Continue to talk.
It was a lot of fun. Big shout out to... Thank you to The Door. It was really great just to throw down some sweet soul jams.
Nice.
See, I haven't given up on soul. They bring in the soul for, like, those types of parties. And then we just hung out. We'll be back in Miami in, like, 2 or 3 weeks for WMC.
Knuckle Sandwich refers to his knife series.
Oh.
It came from his crew.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, if any of you know, write music@fotpnyc.com, and we'll address that later. And then
that is a serious issue that needs to be addressed.
But so Miami,
we might have to cancel you.
You guys have to resolve that.
Miami was great, but Chicago was just phenomenal. We ate great. Big shout out to Only Children, Kid Color, Black Holes, Flustered Amis. Really
love
home.
That town. And every time we go there, I always eat so much more than I'm supposed to. The big first meal we ate was at Big Star, which is the same guys who have done Avec and Publican, which are more of like the high end type of restaurants. Really, Avec is one of the most well known Chicago restaurants.
And Big Star is now this taco place.
It's a taco place, kind of like luncheon type of style, and it's $2 or $3 tacos.
They open up at four.
But I'm saying the vibe is like there's a bar. A big bar, and then there's a few booths, and it's micheladas and tacos and empanadas.
I'm sorry, how do you pronounce that?
Micheladas?
Michelada.
Sorry. Anyway, it was really good. We also met JR and Catherine from Biz3, it was nice to meet their face. But the real star of our eating trip was we went to Alinea.
Warm up to that for lunch was Kuma Burger.
Kuma Burger, which I don't know if you know, but Kuma Burger is this metal burger joint in Chicago. I had to convince Terry that we should skip our trip to Hot Dogs to go to Kuma's, and it's every burger is like Mastodon Burger, Yaw Burger, Pelican Burger,
Metallica.
Wow. And they're just blaring punk rock, they're blaring metal all day.
You know, they had like 13 rules when you walked in the door. It's like no substitutions, don't stand by the kitchen. It was really good.
Wow.
But Alinea, let's just put it this way. For Grant Atches runs Alinea, which is probably one of the best restaurants in the world. It does the whole, avant-garde food, just really playing. And it was a long time coming of going there, but also it had been a long time since we had a fantastic meal like that. And I think one of the best parts of that is like we were actually laughing during the meal in a good way of just that the food was just so much fun and such a presentation, like the hot potato, cold potato, even the end with like the whole bubblegum tapioca thing, which was a lot of fun.
I don't want to give away a lot of those things.
Yeah, because a lot of it is surprise.
So you don't want to give away. But what I can say is that now that we've done a lot of these tasting menus, I did Vetri earlier this year. And we've done, Noma and
WD-50.
Well, no, I separate WD-50 out from this, but a lot of these places are really, it's very serious. It's like very, it's very much like, two people, since it's usually just Terry and I, it's two people clearing, two people setting it down, and it's very serious and everything. And this was really playful, which I actually hate that word.
I hate the word. The only... I think the two things that I will take away from this is that during the dessert course, the chef himself came out and built. They put a rubber mat down on.
No, you can't. You can't say this. I'm actually gonna stop.
I'm not gonna say what he did, but I'm saying they put down a rubber mat on your table, and they build one of the courses in front of you. And I'm not gonna say what they did because that's sort of the whole like holy crap moment, but. Just to have the chef there and to watch him plate. And there's a moment like here's a chef. Here's someone that we obviously both look up to, especially working with Sam and so many other talents. And I had nothing to say at that moment because just like watching him work and just watching there was just one of those in awe moments where I could run my mouth about what I do with food. But it'd be like talking to like a nuclear scientist being like, I took some, science classes in ninth grade. It was so just like an amazing thing. The other thing is that like I feel like every time I got up to the use of the restroom, because, you know, it's like a 3-hour ordeal, like the entire wait staff just like stopped and cleared a path for me. It was nice. It was nice.
Was like those
and they escorted, I mean, they escorted women to the bathroom, like offered their arms. I mean, it was just, it was like such class. It was class and it was fun.
And it was like everyone, it was just, and it wasn't like one guy would do that. It was like whoever was closest. So, the you know, the expediter, the sommelier, your main waiter, your secondary waiter, all of them were just like whoever was closest. And it was good. I don't want to say it too much because
sommelier's hair.
Yeah.
Was
amazing.
Was amazing. I mean, we're talking like there. There's like fro, and then there's like this, and this was just
it
like
it was kind of like
it was like wild.
It was like because Robert Smith with like Malcolm Gladwell type fro,
and I think it stood out because like it was like everyone was in suits and well coiffed, and I'm not saying his hair wasn't, but it was the only just I don't know. It was crazy. It was really wild. If any of you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
But anyway, big shout out also to Only Children, that loft party. That we
had
played
a great loft party. It was a lot of fun.
Looking forward to coming back in Pitchfork. Yeah. And thank you to everybody who came out and had the nice things to say.
So we're gonna play a song. Tan Lines has a new record coming out next Tuesday. Do you know Tan Lines?
I love them. Yeah.
They're having a record release party this Friday at Monster Island. And nice. I will look up the lineup during the break. But excuse me. Really love those guys. Really like what they're doing. So. We're going to drop something off the new record. You're listening to... I'm dying here. You're listening... No, I'm good. This is Snacky Tunes. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse. We got Flagrant Foul. I can't do it today. Flagrant Foul in the studio today. We got Arthur Allen coming up after the break. Big shout out to Roberto's. Big shout out to Jack Ensley and RecTech. And take it away. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. Big shout out today to Whole Foods Market, who is one of our sponsors, or who's always our sponsor. Thank you. Oh, I am slowly losing it from that salad. I don't know. Something went down incorrectly. Terry, who was that?
That was Tan Lines Z. Record release party this Friday at, I want to say Brooklyn Bowl?
No. Incorrect. It's the Monster Island Basement. Blondes are playing.
Are you okay?
Lemonade.
I don't know. Do you need me to come over and like pat you on the back?
I'm fine. So we're very excited today. We're joined by Flagrant Foul. But first up, we have Arthur Allen, the author of the new book, Ripe. Arthur, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
I am very excited to be talking to you because we love food books here.
Good.
Do you want to give our listeners a 30-second background of who you are and what this book is about?
Sure. Well, I'm a journalist and writer. I write a lot about science, and I decided I wanted to write a book about a food that sort of is everybody uses, and tomatoes are great because everyone loves tomatoes, and they come in so many different shapes and forms and everything. And so the book is really looks at two different things. It's one, it's just sort of a, everything you ever wanted to know about the tomato, and then it kind of looks at the tomato as an example of a food, and you know how sort of the food business deals with this particular fruit in a particular way, and what people think about tomatoes as an example of how they think about food. So I get into sort of the differences between, you know, organic, non-organic, heirloom, hybrids, and all of that. So that's basically what it does, and it covers a lot of ground. It's a lot of sort of visiting with farmers and food processors, farms, and it's a lot of fun.
So what is the current state of the tomato in both the, I would say, like, agribusiness culture and then the individual farm-to-table culture?
Well, I mean, it's just great. I mean, there are so many different kinds of tomatoes you can get. And I had two wonderful experiences. One was with heirloom tomatoes, which are, you know, heritage. You could call them heritage tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And there are just so many. I mean, there are really thousands of kinds. And I went to festivals. I went to one in Carmel, California, where there were about 400 different varieties, every shape, color you can imagine, and flavor. And then I also hung out with a wonderful guy who's a tomato breeder. He's actually a geneticist, and he's worked in all aspects of the tomato business. And what he's doing right now is he's breeding tomatoes for a company called Del Cabo Farms, which they actually sell in Whole Foods and a lot of different markets, Trader Joe's. And what they produce mainly are little tomatoes, sort of grapes, cherries, and pears. And they just are delicious tomatoes, and they are a really wonderful company because they basically got the idea. It's this couple who had the idea of getting these campesinos in the southern tip of Baja California to grow tomatoes for them, which they ship to the U.S., and it's really kept this culture of small farmers alive down there, and they're producing something that's really great. So, and they're organic. So they're really interesting people. And Kanti Rawal, who is the breeder I hung out with them, is a real character and a great personage.
And for the tomatoes on a global mass scale, what's the current state of that? Do we have the same issue, the concerns of something
like a monoculture?
Monoculture.
Well, you know, I would say, you know, not really, because I mean, I guess there are places where it might be a problem with monoculture, but there. See, my view of this particular crop is that, you know, you can't grow it for more than a couple of years on any piece of ground because you get all of these, viruses and molds and wilts and all kinds of stuff. So people generally, change. In terms of sort of, you know, that using particular kinds of tomatoes in these mass operations, that it would somehow threaten, you know, diversity, I really don't think is a problem because, for one thing, they're constantly innovating, not always in ways that are that interesting in terms of flavor, but they're always trying to, you know, make tomatoes that produce better and that, have various things that people like or that are helpful to. And, And it's almost a different world from the world of the tomato that you get in the supermarket or that you buy at a farmer's market. And there's really no... there was an effort made to create a sort of a genetically modified tomato, and there probably still are, but it was kind of a flop. And even if it succeeded, I don't think it's really a threat to farmers or to anyone else, because there's just so many different kinds of uses and places for all these different tomatoes that, I mean, in fact, what I've seen is just more and more diversity. I mean, even in the Safeway, which, you know, everybody complains about their Safeway tomatoes, I mean, I think even there, they're better than they were, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, just because there's more diversity, there's more types. The farmers are trying to produce stuff that tastes good rather than just, you know, that you can ship in a truck green and then spray gas on it, so which turns them red. So there's actually quite a lot of diversity. One thing that was interesting to me, I spent a couple of days picking tomatoes with these immigrant workers down in southern Florida, and they have this very effective movement. They're trying to get, you know, better pay. But the tomatoes they produce in southern Florida are really like sort of the low tomato on the totem pole. I mean, they're these tomatoes that basically 60 or 70% of them end up in fast food where no one cares at all what they taste like. And so these companies are selling to McDonald's. The farmers down there are selling to companies like McDonald's and Taco Bell, who are just trying to drive the price down as much as they can because they're producing something that no one cares about. So in terms of the flavor. So that's sort of like it's almost a dying industry down in Florida where they produce these sort of golf ball tomatoes that don't taste like anything.
Where's the best tomatoes, or what is considered to be the best tomatoes in the world?
The best tomatoes in the world are in your backyard.
Really?
I mean, the best tomatoes in the world are in good climates, Mediterranean climates, where, you know, you can control the water, and where they have hot, dry growing seasons, because that prevents the growth of, like, wilts and all of these fungi that attack the plant, and where you can just water them sort of the amount they need at the time they need. And I think there's just, I mean, I really felt this, I had this experience down in Baja California where they're growing these cherry tomatoes, these little tomatoes in the desert, and they were so good. But how do you get them from there up to a supermarket in, you know, California or Colorado or Brooklyn is really, that's tricky. So they're always best sort of right off the vine, you know. And the climate does have a lot to do with it. And then there's these breeders who are always trying to develop these hybrid tomatoes that, you know, you could grow in Baja California and it would still taste like something when you buy it at a store, you know, 3 days later. And that's a really interesting effort, and I think it's worthwhile. I mean, it's interesting because these guys are shipping tomatoes from southern Mexico all the way up to stores in the U.S. And in some ways, you know, sort of from the green perspective, you think, well, God, you know, isn't it better to buy local? And in general, you know, I think it probably is. But in this case, you know, you're supporting a way of life of these people down in southern Mexico. It's a very good climate to grow them. And so to me, it seems like a very kind of ethical operation, even though you're shipping stuff, you know, a long distance.
Right. And what is the best application of a tomato that you've seen in your research? The most exciting, you know, both what was grown and then its use.
Well, to me, the best tomatoes sort of dish that I've tasted is just a tomato sauce made with fresh, really good tomatoes, like whether they're heirlooms or hybrids, but something that just came out of somebody's garden that are really delicious, and then you cook them up into, you know, a stew with whatever you like to put in it. And I can only eat so many fresh tomatoes, you know, like just
right.
You can't eat them like, you know,
not like apples
or oranges or something. So to me, they're really great. So when you have a really, really sweet, flavorful tomato and then you make it into a sauce, to me, that's like heaven, you know?
Right, I got it. Well, I want to thank you for calling in. The book is called Ripe. by Arthur Allen. It is out. I have March here, but what is the exact date?
It's out. You can get it at some stores. You can get it on Amazon and various other places.
Great. Well, Arthur, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
That was interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure that there's a good history. I wanted to ask him about fun facts about tomatoes, but I'm sure that's a lot of in the book.
And also tomato versus tomato.
That could have gone on forever. So you're listening to Snacky Tunes. We have Terry Diabolik about to drop us a set, and then we have Scooby from Flagrant Foul in studio. We're going to talk about a million and one things. Big shout out to Whole Food Markets, Roberta's, and Jack Inslee and Rec Tech. And Terry, take it away.
Young Punk's been saying around town, you know, telling folks disco is gone out of style.
What do you say, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that is out of fashion. I tell you, fashion's coming, fashion's going. This sound, this sound, disco, it'll never die. Fashion's coming, fashion's going. Fashion's coming, fashion's going. Never die. Fashion's coming, fashion's going. It'll never die. Never die. Fashion's coming, fashion's going.
Story, but it's the same story again and again. You turn.
Snacky Tunes, Terry D fading it down. I'll let him waltz on over here so he can tell us who that was. Who was that?
That was some new stuff, or some new stuff and old stuff I found. The first track is Never Die, Extended Mix by Young Punks. Really digging their stuff. I guess they're out of the UK, I think. They did that Chicane, Stone in Love remix.
Nice.
And then after that was a demo from the lovely Lauren Flax featuring Carrie Wilde. That's Stronger
still,
Now.
Still going to get mixed and mastered. It's awesome.
Still got to mix and master. It's going to be a heater? Is that heater. What I'm looking for? Heater? And then the new Justin Faust song, single, Holding On. And he's actually coming out with Molinex and Zenobi April 24th at Public Assembly for Finger on the Pulse Presents. Punches and VDRK are playing. Famous Friends are hosting.
Sounds good.
It's actually our first... The first party, big party we're throwing this year. We were just talking about during the break about, let's get you in the mix.
For people who are just tuning in, Scooby from Flagrant Foul.
AKA Pocket Knife.
AKA Pocket Knife is in the studio, who we've known for years now.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years
and,
now.
And we started off DJing together or running laps around each other in the Brooklyn scene. Royal Oak.
Oh wow!
I mean, yeah. I mean, back in the day, I mean, that's
yeah,
where
that's
met,
true. Yeah,
and we were all throwing
basement of the Charleston.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and we were all definitely throwing more parties 5 years ago than we are today. But you know, you do production. Now, let's talk about your production. You're sort of, the industry term is killing it.
Oh, I like that term.
Yeah, let's focus on Flagrant Foul. I mean, you had wild success with Tambourine Dream.
Yeah, Tambourine Dream was a big one for Cousin Cole and I. We, I had this idea for a while to do these, like, you know, these remixes of, like, folk and kind of acoustic indie songs. And then, you know, Cole got wind of it. I think he probably saw, like, my chalkboard in my studio, like, listing all my ideas. So, yeah, we put that together, put it out, and then I still get people looking for the vinyl and the mix CD. And some of those remixes we did were like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's nice, you know, because you feel like when you release tracks, you want, you know, like you hope they're hot for 6 months. But it's nice, I guess, because these are more classic or like have like a classic sound or something. So people are still wanting them, you know, even though they're like years old.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff has a much longer shelf life. Also, like remixing Bruce Springsteen, for example, it's like that song's been around forever and will continue to be around forever.
Sure.
So like. I really like, you know, I enjoy that, and you could hear it now or 5 years from now, and it wouldn't be.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't have that 2007 sound.
Yeah,
it's good to be timeless, and you guys, and it's really amazing to see like the work that you've done also. But you've also worked with modern artists too. You did Leaky Lee and like a
oh yeah,
stuff
sure.
like that.
Yeah, just, after that, we got an agent. In London, and I guess I did the majority of the stuff they sent over, but yeah, so you know, we were getting commissioned remixes I guess maybe a year and a half ago. It was like a couple remixes each, you know, every month, doing different artists, Leaky Lee, Adele. I did, you know, I think the first one I did was like Paul Weller, and
right.
You know, it's like a wide variety, but you know, it's like, yeah, I just took on all the projects, and then, you know, I have some people like contact me directly now that since I've developed some, you know, relationship with some different labels.
That's awesome. But what I also find exciting is that, you know, a lot of people who are remixers also have, you know, that's all they just do remixes and you're touring. But your big project is that you do scores.
Yeah. I've done some like film score work. You know, I wrapped a big project for the New York Times, this documentary that's coming out. I think it's going to premiere this at the end of the month at MoMA. But
can you say what it's on?
It's actually about Bill Cunningham, the Times' fashion photographer. He's he's an amazing guy. Like he's, I think, 81. He rides his bike everywhere. He was like the original photographer for Details magazine when it was more like it's a little black and white, almost like a zine, I guess. You know, it was when it came out in Soho, like the whole downtown scene. But yeah, it's on his life. So the director actually heard one of my remixes. And then thought that would be appropriate for the project. And then it kind of turned into more like a classic sounding score, you know, strings, you know, woodwinds, things like that. And I did some, you know, a bit of editing of some music. They already had some like music they wanted to use, like pre-existing stuff. So I did some editing kind of using my remix technical ability skills.
So is it more classical, or is it like a juxtaposition of like classical and sort of remix culture?
Actually, I mean, they're not. There was a couple of scenes, like some runway shows, where there's some like I think some of my productions there. But I mean, I guess not classical, but like more like a classic sounding film score versus it being like, yeah, like remixes of songs and whatnot.
Like No Ignition remix.
No, they're not using the Ignition.
But then just to add that to even on top of the plate, you've also done sound design for electronics.
Oh yeah,
which is really awesome.
That's
really
actually
awesome.
I like to do more of that. It's a company, a startup in Silicon Valley called Neato. They have this robot. I think it's coming out this month. It has a very Star Wars name. It's called the Neato XV11, and it's supposed to be like the direct competition for the Roomba. So it's like high powered, high tech vacuum cleaner. And I got hired to do their basically like their audio logos, startup sound, shutdown sound, and then it plays this little jingle when it's done cleaning your loft or your house.
Can you hum the jingle?
I think when it's done, I almost kind of mimic like the charge, like do 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 do. It's something like that. It's a variation on that.
Very so cool. Awesome. I mean, we were just reading about these new robots that can cook.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There was just a big article in the Times about them. And how they have personalities, and how there's actually two of them that are sushi chefs that when they are not as busy, they will like squabble.
Yeah, and bicker.
Oh, really?
Like bicker.
Like in Japanese? Or
yeah,
like...
I don't know. Okay. Whatever language you want it to be in.
Wow.
Did you put in a like fight challenge song for when it gets in the same room as a Roomba? like it senses it and it's just...
I actually like that. Maybe the next version. Yeah. XV11 or like XV12 maybe.
Yeah. XV12 is...
Yeah.
Like or some... like the updated version.
Yeah.
How about this? Let's get you on the decks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll bring you back.
Okay.
We'll talk for another few minutes.
And we'll talk about the Arthur Russell tribute on Thursday.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And we'll talk about upcoming shows.
Okay.
And then we'll just save one song. That's your banger. That's how we're going to go out.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah. So, we'll let you walk over and set up and we'll take care of it.
Snacky Tunes.
Snacky Tunes. I'm full from this pizza.
That pizza was good. Oh, big shout out. Big shout out. Pies and Thighs, South Fourth and Driggs.
Oh, yeah. They reopened.
Reopened today. Oh, you know what? The applause, the effects buttons aren't even here anymore.
Woo!
Yay! Anyway, big shout out to Pies and Thighs.
I might have to dip on over there after the gym.
But also big shout out to Gabe and his team, the same guys who helped build out the Rising Tide Loft, worked on Pies and Thighs. But get over there. I'm sure there's already.
I'm sure there's a line.
I'm sure like Eater
now,
is doing a live.
I'm sure there's gonna be like a live from
coverage.
Now until tomorrow.
But anyway, so
of next year.
Thanks, thank you to adding more fat to all of our thighs. But you're listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. We got Scooby on the decks. Shout out to
AKA Pocket Knife.
AKA Pocket Knife. Jack Inslee, Rec Tech.
Here we go.
If you rest for me tonight. Just look into
Your are still most of me. That's rude. That's rude. I hope you remember. I'm still part of you. That's rude. You're still most of me. Yeah. That's rude. So this lonely night. A fallen hero. That's rude. And I know why. Just the ghost of a man.
All right. That's pretty sweet.
That's some smoothed out sounds for a Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
Definitely after pizza music.
Yeah, I feel like I want to take a nap. I mean, I felt like I want to take a nap, but now I feel like I have my soundtrack to... you know what would actually be good? Like, if I was getting a massage, and I was like, yo, let me bring my own music, that could be good, like, massage music. No?
Nice.
Yo, massage music. That's like
because so what you're saying is that when you're getting massaged, you want to be thinking of Scooby?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine. That's okay.
Fine. Yeah, fine. Whatever.
He's
whatever,
handsome.
Yeah, whatever it needs. He's a proud papa.
So who'd you play?
Let's see. That was New Frequency, Motor City Drum, the drum ensemble remix. I love that dude. I think he's German, maybe, but he's called Motor City Drum Ensemble. Let's see. I played an Arthur Russell edit that young producer out of, I think, definitely Australian, maybe Melbourne. He did that. And what else did I play? Let's see.
Tori Moi.
Oh, yeah. Tori Moi. Loving that dude's
loving
stuff.
Loving that dude.
Yeah, man.
Just had like a sold out show here.
At Cameo, right?
At Cameo.
Yeah.
They said they had to turn like 100 people away.
Wow.
Big shout out to Famous Friends. Way to knock it out of the park, kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed that, but I'm going to go next time. I think he's here at the end of this month, right?
Where's he from?
Philly, right?
Some state somewhere.
He's awesome.
Or no, actually, maybe he's from maybe he's like
I don't think further down,
maybe like Baltimore or somewhere down there. But
really smooth that sounds.
Yeah, that dude I played, and then Infogranti, like their new
Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah, so
sweet. So speaking of stuff you're playing, you have a big show coming up on Thursday.
Yes, at Santos Party House with it's Electric Minds. They're the label that put out the Arthur Russell cover cover tribute record. So Danny Krivitz, like the big DJ for that night, it's going to be pretty dope.
Danny Krivitz?
Yeah, Danny Krivitz. Yeah.
Love Danny.
I know. 2-hour set, I think, at least. He probably wants to do like, you know.
Six
hour. But,
all those guys want to do, I don't know what it is, but when they're like, oh, we do like 6 to 8 hours, I go, what?
Yeah. Cole and I played a 6-hour set at a festival in UK. It was, you know, when you got there, you're like, oh man. But then you get in the mode and you're just like, it's over before you know it. But
6 hours.
Yeah. But so Danny, Brendan Green's playing, Yamhoo. I think they did like half of the cover versions on this on the Go Bang tribute. And then, I'm performing live. So I did a remix of a couple people who used to play with Arthur. So we're going to perform. And now it's actually going to be like everybody that's in their full band, who are all old friends of Arthur's. And there's going to be like, I think we're just doing the disco stuff. Like, we're going to do, there's a live version of Go Bang with like a, like a boys choir. So it should be a good night.
What time do they all start?
I think it starts on the early side. I don't know if I guess doors at 8 and it starts at 10. Something like that.
Wait, doors, what, are people going to hang for 2 hours?
Let's say it starts at 10.
Okay, let's say it starts at 10.
Yeah.
Awesome. So party time.
Yep, so party time, yep. So that's happening this Thursday. It's going to be a good time.
That's going to be great. Santos, gotta love Santos.
Love Santos and that whole crew over there. Yeah. So we should have you play one more song.
Okay, sure.
Okay, what are you gonna play for us?
This is actually my dear friend and label mate cohort, Cousin Cole. It's one of his new edits that's gonna be on a 12-inch EP coming out next month, or actually maybe at the end of this month. It's the second in our Canyon Dancing series, which is like edits, remixes of like more like art rock kind of psyche, bearded warlock stuff.
Warlock stuff.
Yeah.
Warlock. Okay. Now I get it.
Yeah.
That's everything. That's awesome.
Some of that Merlin rock.
Not Merlin.
Merlin is the wizard.
Oh yeah, Merlin. Yeah. More. I guess more like.
That joke just failed so bad. I mean, wow. That really.
I missed that one.
Maybe I can cast a spell to make you laugh.
No. Oh, no. Don't even go for 3.
I love Merlin though.
Don't even go for 3.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
We've been trying to have you on here for a while.
I know.
Like, you've been busy, man.
Yep. I think since that yacht ride where you and I like hung out and talked about music for a long time.
Oh, right. Yeah. When Canyons were here? Was that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
But congratulations on the score.
Thank you.
MoMA and Anathema. What's the documentary called?
I think it's going to be called I'll Be Your Mirror. They're using, I actually did an edit of like the Velvet song with Nico. Awesome. I'll Be Your Mirror. So, yeah.
Did you throw a little bit bass under there?
I was, you know, I had a tenant. I was like, man, where's the tambourine? That 4/4. But I held back. I just did, a nice thoughtful edit of it.
Okay.
You know, that's the beauty of like re-editing those songs. It's like they will always get play. Yep. It's like always they're just classics.
Definitely.
And people just want to be able to mix them.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we're going to let you walk on over there.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Never forget. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Next week up, we have Treasure Fingers in the studio.
Awesome.
Which would be great. We are playing a big party with them and Famous Friends. Next
Discovery on the 13th or 12th. Shout out to Heritage Radio. We're Snacky Tunes. Jack, Inslee, Rec Tech, Roberta's, Whole Foods. See you next week.
Exclusive.
7th for exclusive